Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Glory be.
Glory be, my little lamb chop.
Laura is now a post-lamb American.
I'm living in a lamb world and secreting my own lamb, son or daughter. I would take either. Daughter.
You're truly like, when I came onto this podcast today, I saw you and I thought, she's Icelandic.
Do you understand? I didn't realize that whole movie was in Icelandic.
Yeah.
And it is the most Icelandic movie I've ever seen.
It's like Sigurdros.
It is real Icelandic farm life. It's barely any dialogue and just a lot of farm, which I love farm. So I can just get the fuck down with just like an Icelandic vibe of a farm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
It's in a place of Sigurdros.
It is totally Sigurdros. And also, I didn't realize either a lot of the movie takes place during the summer, but Iceland just like has like a light outside all the time, midsommar.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, oh, why are they always nap? They're always so tired in the daytime. I was like, they sure do nap a lot in this movie, but it's actually their nighttime and they're sleeping.
They're like, wow, they have a lot of time to like sneak in a few Z's.
I was like, don't you have like a farm stuff to do? Don't you have to like tractor the fields or like feed the sheep?
No, that's just their...
A lot of naps.
I want to experience that. I always think about when the Real Housewives of OC went to Iceland and Vicky got wheeled out under a blanket and it was like 2 a.m, but it was broad daylight outside. It was just unbelievably disorienting.
Yeah, it's completely unnerving. I don't think I would like it. I like dark at night.
You like dark.
I like dark.
I want to go to Iceland really bad.
I want to go, but I think I would need... It's scary to me. It's unnatural and ungodly, I think, to be light. Light outside at 2 a.m. I love like a late summer sunsets at like 10 and it's dark or whatever, but just all night like this... But it's like 4 a.m.
Yeah. I think as people, both of us who struggle with mental health issues, I think disorienting I will go to a place of...
Wait, can I tell you though about Lamb? I'm going to spoil Lamb. Is that okay?
Spoilers ahead if you want to see this movie.
If you want to see this movie, just skip for like 10 or 15 minutes.
Great.
So like the whole...
Skip for a half an hour.
I'm like, skip for the next 45 to an hour if you want, don't want any Lamb spoilers. But so Lamb belongs to like a big Lamb man who comes for Lamb at the end.
No.
Yes.
That is so fucking scary.
He comes for Lamb and he takes Lamb and he fucking shoots a guy in the neck and then just like takes his Lamb child away.
Does he kill Noomi Rapace?
No, she's just left alone on the farm to like grieve. And like, I thought it was like, I was like, this can't be over right now. Like Noomi, she's such a hardcore bitch that like, I was like, she's gonna just like strap up, get the bullets, get the gun and go gun this guy down.
Get the
and
bazooka.
Then it just ended. No, I literally was like, oh, cool. Revenge plot line. And then it was just over with her like crying. And I was like, oh, I actually am so depressed. Like, I'm not okay.
What does the Lamb man look like?
He looks like he. Okay, so Lamb Ada, the little lamb child, is like a great proportion, like has one little lamb hoof arm and one human arm, which I think is really cute. And her little hoof arm is so cute. And her lamb father has just like a sheep head and like a semi-hairy human body. He has like a ram head. Oh, that's... He's like satanic. And he fucked like a sheep in order in the... That was like outside on Christmas night. This like sheep comes stumbling in from just getting railed by this goat man that you don't see him until the end. But the sheep got plowed down by the old goatee. And
is he like supposed to be lamb child? Satan?
I don't know what he's supposed to be. He was, I guess, just mad that they stole his kid, which I kind of understand, but like. There could have been some negotiation there.
And the little paperwork.
Yeah. And like little lamb Ada was so cute. And she was a sweetie. Like she was not evil at all. She was like an innocent, beautiful child. And now he's going to take her and teach her how to be evil.
Did she want to stay?
Yeah. She was scared. Oh my God. I'm like going to get emotional because I hated the ending. It was so sad.
Does she go, meh?
She kind of has like little human sounds. Like she's like, me, meh. Like she kind of sounds like a small toddler. She doesn't speak, but she does utter sounds. She understands English.
Does she love?
She's actually the perfect child because can't talk back and they mind everything you say and they just want to come with you and do little farm stuff.
Did she love her parents?
Yeah. She was always cuddling with them. Oh. And she ate at the tables. She would sit at the table.
I saw goats yesterday and I thought of lamb.
You had a lamb moment.
Several. Well, now I have to see it. Even if I know.
Now you have to see it. I really thought of you when the goat man showed up. I was like, Carrie would not be okay with this.
I don't like that. I don't like, you know, there was this. One of the scariest parts in the Blair Witch Project is when they go to that old woman's house and she's like, I saw the Blair Witch when I was a child. And she describes seeing this woman fully covered in like fur, like naked and covered in fur, like wandering around the woods. So anytime there's like a half beast, half person with her hair all over them, I get really freaked out.
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah. So,
Lamb father was not, he was like not a kind soul.
Was the music good?
There was not really any music.
Just the sound.
I mean, it was like very
sparse
mise en scène. Like whatever is there is there. But there was a lot of really good footage of sheep.
And just, I love a sheep. Like, just really, getting, I love a sheep.
And good
just getting
sheep reaction.
Pounded.
Yeah, you don't, they don't show that, but like she stumbles in and I'm just like, girl, I've been there.
She comes in just like dick drunk, just like, oh.
Yeah, she was fully dick drunk and just like collapsed.
Oh, shit.
And I was damn. Like, honey, it was like a Friday night.
Wow.
But like good HD sheep and like not CGI sheep. I think like real sheep actors, which I appreciate, like a real, there's just real animal. And there needs to be more movies like this that use just like real animals.
Livestock horror.
Livestock, even just like livestock comedy. I think every movie could benefit from some HD shots of
lamb
farm life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think cows and lambs are good, like, they're good, like, extras.
They set the scene, and on a, I'm like, why haven't we had more movies like this? Because like Planet Earth is so great,
so popular,
and all those, yeah, and like we have the technology to do this or infuse movies with more.
Yeah, of that,
and then it just makes everything like more cinematic, and we need just more, please.
Also, if there's any kind of like, if I hear baying in the eve, or like if something bad is happening and I hear a sheep, I get immediately afraid for the sheeps. So it's like good drama.
It's really good drama. The sheep are, they're like great actors, and their like reactions and stuff, and just like they're, the ways that they kind of are together is very interesting.
Did you see that movie, The Wicked and the Damned? It's on, it's a horror movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That
had good sheep reaction.
Good sheep, but also like sheep in peril, which I did not like.
No.
But it was effective. I think they're really good actors.
They are great actors. They're like truly undiscovered gems.
We need to have a sheep. There needs to be just like a sheep division of like the big agencies.
It's like a farm division where it's like you can book like a flock of sheep.
Yeah, and they have like heads up.
Herd of sheep. Yeah, and like farmers can like submit their sheep herd.
Yeah, they're all like,
I found like this weird Airbnb a couple years ago that was like a Airstream trailer on a farm property, and it was the best ever because it had just cows roaming around. So whenever, like, sometimes you just hear like a cow, and then there'd be like a bunch of cows like nearby, and you could hear like the chickens when they were waking up, and there were goats, and I like farm life.
When I was abroad in college, I was in London, and one weekend we went to the Lake District, which is the border of England and Scotland, and we stayed at this giant retreat house called Glaramara, and we got there in the dead of night, no lights. I couldn't see any, like, none of our bus was driving through for like 2 hours up this, like, no one knew what we were surrounded by. And then the next morning I woke up at like 6 a.m. and opened my window, and I was ground level, me and my roommate, and a sheep was just staring in at me. And he went, and I went, ah! Just sheep. It was heavenly.
Yeah, there's nothing better.
And they can,
nothing better.
They can also like stand like on their side. Like they can stand like straight while like on a slant.
Mm-hmm.
They defy physics.
And they just like move together. It's interesting to see them and then compare them to the way humans move together.
Exactly.
And like interact.
I also don't think, I think using sheep as a insult is derogatory.
Yeah, justice for sheep.
Like, if someone called me a sheep, I'd be like, well, sheep are great.
It's specious.
Yeah. I like being, you know?
I like being a sheep sometimes.
Mariah Carey's fan base is called the Lambs.
The Lambs, that's a power move on her part.
Lamely.
When she was releasing her book, she goes, hello, Lamely.
Like, that's a powerful thing, to be anointed, yeah, lamb by good. MC.
Mm-hmm. More lamb content, more sheep content. It also, okay, so there was actually something that pissed me off, and I went to the Grove AMC theaters, and there was some sort of thing on the screen that when there was something wrong with the screen of the movie theater itself, where if it was all white you could just see this like mark or like an indentation or something. But I was like, what the fuck kind of budget broke down palace shit is this? Like, this is unacceptable. I just got like enraged because you know it would never happen at the Arclight.
No.
And that theater should be just out of order until you fix the screen. It literally is the purpose of why people go to the movies. And also I have to say,
say it.
People need to get their movie shit together because there was a lot of talking. There were like handfuls of people coming in late, which I thought was like, AMC, what kind of horse and pony show are you running around?
I love imagining you just being like,
I literally am like so irritated if anyone makes a beep and like coming in late, like someone came in late with their phone flashlight on, like waving it around trying to, I was just like, are you fucking kidding me?
I know, when people come in like they're in a coal mine and they're just like, they're going like, I'm like, my God, this is insane.
You're the main character of this movie.
You're the main character. Everyone in a movie is the main character. Everyone thinks that they're the main character in a movie theater.
I am a sheep in the movie theater.
I'm a supportive,
the collective.
I'm a background player.
I'm the collective. Like, I become one with the audience and we are all on the same journey together, but I demand respect and silence.
No, I fully, like, I gladly become an extra when I'm at a movie. I want to just be, like you said, like, I want to be lost in the darkness.
Mm-hmm. And when someone takes me out of that, I'm so irritated. I miss the fascism of the Arclight where it was like, we're not letting you in to a movie late. Like, sorry, not sorry. And you can either go get another ticket or kindly leave.
People will
like get mad at you in like the Arclight or like the Egyptian theater, like certain cinema freaks. They will like, they'll hold a grudge. And you honestly deserve to be dressed down for acting like this is a zoo.
I mean, once or twice I have literally said, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like in a movie. And I know that's probably just as bad.
It's pretty bad, but at least someone's saying it.
Saying shut the fuck up to people who are really loud.
I mean, if it actually shuts them up.
They did shut them up.
I mean, okay, good. I'm like a looker. Like I will instantly look over and I pray that they like see me seeing them and they know that they've like crossed the line. I've told people also to just like shut up or please be quiet.
I mean
like out loud, just like shh.
No, I'm usually just I just like silently resent and stew, but there have been one or two times where like the people were being so disruptive that it was like, and everyone was kind of shushing them and no one was getting to them, so I just turned around and said shut the fuck up.
That's power.
And
that's
it stopped
hot.
Them.
Good.
One time they were like, you shut the fuck up. But I was like, whatever.
You should make me.
Make
you
me.
Grab him by the fucking throat and drag him out of the theater. Beat the shit out of
Why
him.
Why I oughta.
Why are you? Take it to like a place of Sopranos. I think
But when people go
gotten,
like this.
No, truly walked in was like, where? I'm like, you are the late one. This movie has started. There were 30 minutes of previews. If you're 30 minutes late to a movie, you shouldn't go to it.
I think people
and also
forgot because of COVID.
They're too comfortable watching movies at home where you can just like fart and be on your phone and like whisper and do whatever the fuck you want. And this isn't your fucking house. Mm-hmm. People just think they're now going out in the world and the world is their house, and it's mm-hmm. not.
I have to say that when I saw Midnight in the Switchgrass, not to be a narc, but but Brittany was on her phone the entire time.
I'm sure she was. She's a fucking feral animal.
And I will tell you, because she was a few rows ahead of me, I will tell you that she was focused on one Instagram photo. It was on the step and repeat with Jax, like right before the movie. And she kept zooming in and out and in and out and in and out the whole movie.
What was she looking at?
She was trying.
What was she zooming in on?
I think she was trying to like face tune it and like
do
all the
stuff.
Oh,
she was like editing picture.
But she was like, before she posted, she was just zooming in and out. And then she was sitting right next to Randall's mom. And I was like, this
girl,
is her.
Get the fuck off your phone.
This is her child's big moment.
Yeah, why are
Rude.
You here? Go to the bathroom.
I hate to be a narc, but that I was like,
honestly, she deserves it. And I'm also not surprised. When I go home, it's also in LA, you have people this is like the most respectful people will be in movie theaters. When I go home and see a movie in Oklahoma, it's truly bedlam. People are like screaming. Like people will have full blown loud conversations in the hallway of the theater. Oh my God, I haven't seen you in forever. How are you, girl? And you're like, please stop talking for God's sake.
I do like though when it's like a really scary or crazy movie and the audience is all screaming together.
Oh yeah. Like, I love like collective laughter, people being like, no, like yeah. I like people reacting to the movie, but yeah. I don't like people not just living their lives while a movie is playing at the same time.
How are
That's
you, girl?
Not the space for that.
Hey girl, like some Oklahoma
woman. Like, hey, oh my God, I haven't seen you in ages. You look amazing. Like, do you understand that you're in a movie theater right now?
And when people, when I was seeing Once Upon a Time in Hollywood at the Arclight in the Dome, I went to the wrong row and I then suddenly, you know when you like panic because there's many people?
Oh my God, yeah.
And I went deep into the wrong row, like middle place, and I realized that like
you're dead to me if you do this.
I realized that everyone was a few rows back in my group, and I could imagine my silhouette just being like, and then Simon said he was crying laughing because he just saw
you are public enemy for doing that. And the Arclight, like, people are so
they're so intense.
Angry. It's so intense. And for you to like do that, like I would be like, I don't even know who this person is right now. I don't know this man.
You would shame me and throw me to the wolves.
I would just be like, I'd just pretend to not know you. Yeah. I think if you come in late, you're on your own. Don't expect me to like.
No, that wasn't late. That was, I went to the bathroom.
Oh, even, I mean, that's hard. I'll probably develop bladder issues. I think I already have bladder issues, but they're just gonna go like get worse and worse because like I will not leave a movie to pee. I would rather piss my pants or cause long-term urinary tract damage than leave.
I'm really good at though at darting. Like I will.
Yeah.
I am really good at like I can get back in like 2 minutes.
That's power. But then you come back and you go right to the wrong row and then you go freeze. You have a whole mime, like you have a Beyonce like screen dance journey in the middle of the row.
Doing the Run the World screen dance.
Yeah. You're like, oh my God. Speaking of Beyonce, I rewatched Sex and the City 2 this weekend and it was just so good. I recommend everyone watch it at least once a year. Mm-hmm. I try and revisit every 6 months.
I watched it the last time last October on a flight to Miami. It's a great plane movie.
Perfect plane movie.
Half of it takes place on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
It's an astounding, confounding movie.
Carrie Bradshaw looks possessed by the devil himself in this movie. Every shot of her is wearing this like crazy eyeliner, and I can't figure out if it's just like SJP decided that
she did
wanted that makeup.
She did.
Or if she had some sort of like, because her face starts to look uncanny in the second movie, and I can't tell if she had like some sort of under eye procedure, because her under eyes are extremely smooth and I think it takes away from like the rest of her face, or there's something weird. But she looks, every time you see her, I'm truly like possession.
Remember that incredible poster where they photoshopped everyone like to hell?
Mm-hmm.
And Samantha literally looks like she's 16.
They sing "I Am Woman" in Abu Dhabi.
Also,
a karaoke night.
I'll never forget Sarah Jessica's Carrie's acting when Charlotte goes, doesn't that hurt your feelings? He doesn't want to be around you. And then Carrie goes, you just don't get it. And she goes like this. It's like, oh, pick one reaction.
She goes, reacting. When they come at the end of the movie and the flight attendant's coming down, she goes, "Do you have anything to declare?" And Carrie goes, "Yes, I'm a mess." And then, like, takes her declaration. I was like, honey, get your fucking shit together.
Also, you made all that drama happen.
Yeah. Like, you went out. You literally, from the jump, terrorized your husband, then went across the world and continued to terrorize him. Cheated on him with Aiden.
Snogged Aiden on the beach. And then...
You went on a date with Aiden, who's also like a fucking creep for going on a date, and they're so like fucking gross together. He's like showing his kids, and he's being like, "Yeah, I've never been happier," and then she's like, "I too have never been happier," and then they like make out. Their relationship is sick. I was like, "Your relationship is disgusting to me."
When they see
you're
each other,
craven, yeah, and he picks her up, and I was like, "Can you not?"
I was like, "You're a married man.
You are married with children that you claim to care about and love.
Your wife is back home.
Your wife is, while you're picking out rugs and picking up this petite woman who's wearing a full tulle skirt in an Arabian market." Also, like, what if your friend dressed like that and you went to, like, you're like, "Okay, we're going to go walk in the marketplace." And she came out in a full, like, a ballroom skirt and a little tiny t-shirt. And was like, "I'm ready." You'd be like, "What is wrong with you? What happened? Why are you dressed like that?"
I'd be like, "We need
you
to
know
get
we're just
you.
Gonna walk around. We're walking around like a dirt market. Yo,
medic, get this girl to fly her home. We need to medevac her immediately."
She needs to go straight into a straitjacket for that. I was like, "You are walking around like a Middle Easter, like a marketplace. This is dirt flooring. You're not going to the ball." J'adore Dior. And like a little shrug. And the hugest skirt you've ever seen. It's literally a wingspan of six feet.
Poodle skirt. I'm like, you are full rockabilly in this moment, Carrie. And then she's in.
You've lost the plot.
Like, "No. Thank you so much," she says to like the guy, and he's like, "Okay, just do you want to buy it or not?" And then she turns and sees Aiden.
She goes, "Do you speak English?"
And he's like,
"Do you speak it?" And he's like, "Yes." And she's like, "Can I have these shoes? Ooh, and maybe this." And it's just like, Carrie, stop.
And then she turns and sees Aiden. They both see each other, and you hear like, boo, boo, boo,
boo. They're also like max 10 feet away from each other, and there's like a 35 second slow-mo of them approaching each other. I was like, "You guys are standing close by,"
with like the most offensive like Middle Eastern soundtrack.
It fires on all cylinders in one of the best ways. Yeah. And no one is spared. And no, I also would really love to see this movie, like, I feel like Sex and the City 2 is presented from Carrie Bradshaw's perspective, yeah, of like what this trip was and everything.
Yeah.
But I want them to make a movie for every character of like what that trip actually was to them. Because I believe that Samantha was battling like late stage alcoholism and is like blackout the entire time. So I imagine her movie would be like a Darren Aronofsky, like she bottoms out. She's like inappropriate the entire time, and not in like a they just can't take how
no
sexy
she
I
like
am.
She like throws she condoms like, at people.
She's like offensive and drunk. I was like, this is her rock bottom moment.
Yeah, and she so like
hers would be like a gritty tale.
She is rock bottoming. She's like rock bottoming.
She's rock bottom. I'm telling you,
on her alcoholism and her like sex addiction.
I was like, I get her wanting to fuck, but like, the alcoholism was very apparent.
Mm-hmm.
Miranda and Steve's would be like a marriage story with like, and then she went like to this crazy thing where her friend acted absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. And she would just like realize that she like loves family, and family is the most important thing.
And loves working.
And Charlotte is like, I think, having a bit of a mental break as well.
Charlotte's would have been like a full horror movie. Mm-hmm. That would even be like more Aronofsky than Kim Cattrall. Kim Cattrall's would have been like a Cassavetes, like
Woman on the Verge.
Woman on the Verge. Vibe. And Charlotte's would have been like mother.
Charlotte is a full, it's repulsion.
Yeah.
She's like, Roman believes Polanski. 1000% that her husband's boning the nanny. And nanny she hates her kids. Yeah. Yeah. And she can't admit like that she hates motherhood.
She's like,
or that motherhood is hard.
She's like considering Andrea Yatesing her children.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, just when she's about to, then she, like, the nanny comes in. It would be a totally different story than what we think we know. And I think that they should consider making these versions.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Also, that cringe storyline of Carrie's butler and Carrie being like, oh, it's so beautiful. I love love.
Be a love. Doesn't matter if they're far apart, just as long as you love each other.
Yeah, and she's and he's like,
now I'm going to go fuck Aiden.
I'm going to go stick my tongue in Aiden's sig mouth.
Also, Aiden is obsessed with Carrie, like he will never get over her because no. She broke his heart and hurt him so deeply.
She that ruined wound, him.
Like she ruined his life. Yeah. Like I think after that he saw her on this trip, I believe wholeheartedly that his entire life fell apart. He lost his marriage, lost his family. He probably slipped into addiction, debt, lost his furniture line.
And
now if we were to catch up with Aiden, he's attempted suicide on multiple occasions. And if we were to follow up, he's probably like, he's unwell. He's living on the streets or is like living in.
He joined a cult.
A really shitty town. Yeah.
like Carrie's wreckage that she causes, like she and Big might be fine, but like she has no idea like what she just did to some family potentially.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And just like the power, she should know by now the power that she has over Aiden. Like if you're a woman in that situation and you're the Carrie and you've been with an Aiden, you know that you'll always have the upper hand no matter what. The only way that it can shift is if you re-fall in love, then he rejects you and like breaks your heart. But that most likely will never happen.
Mm-mm.
So like she knew what she was doing. Being like, let's go to dinner. I'm going to wear my blazer.
Charlotte, was it Charlotte that's like, I think you're making a mistake? And Carrie's like, shut the fuck up, Charlotte. She's so mean to Charlotte in that movie.
Yeah. She was like, maybe you're just jealous because you can't blah. And like, it's like, wow, you're a terrible friend.
She's like, maybe you're just jealous. Go suck a dick.
Yeah. She goes full Dodie. She is a Dodie in this movie.
Ooh, can't hear you, you fucker. And then Charlotte's
like, also, you're on a girl's vacation. You're going to go have dinner with Aiden?
Of course she would.
Ugh, that's so annoying. I'd be like, we're talking shit about her all night. I'd be like, can you believe this bitch again with Aiden? I would say exactly what I said to you, to Charlotte, Miranda, and Samantha.
We're talking shit all night about Carrie.
All night. Fuck her.
Fuck
honestly,
Carrie. Fuck her.
That's what she thinks she's going to do on this girls' trip.
When she gets back to, when we get back to New York, we're never speaking to her again.
I'm like, how much do you want to bet she's like making out with him right now and she's going to come in and like freak out about it? And then she would come in and I'd be like, look at, like making eye contact with her friends. I'd be like, she's crazy. She's a terrorist. We should leave her here. We shouldn't be friends with her when we get back. What do you guys think?
I love, we're talking shit all night.
All night about this bitch. Look, all of us can be here. We're away from our family. We like never get to hang with each other. We're like on a beautiful vacation.
And this bitch
leaves
us. Where's
Carrie? This bitch is off to go have dinner with her married ex-boyfriend who has multiple kids. If she's having fun on her date.
Please make this a character. The other friend who's like, fuck Carrie.
Yeah.
Hope she's having fun.
Hope she's having fun.
And she comes
I'll bet you $1 million she's going to come in here like crying, screaming about how they like made out or something weird happened. Now she's like guilty and makes us all talk about like, should she tell Big or not?
And you're like, I'm not going to, when she comes in and she's crying, everyone says something and you go, I'm not saying anything.
I'm just like,
what do you want me to say?
What?
What?
And we all knew you were going to do that. She really does need a friend that's just over her shit.
Speaking of friends that are over each other's shit, guys, I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy
Unique Podcast.
Salty
Utah Queens.
The music that opened this episode was a version of the Pixies' Where Is My Mind. Did you like catch that at all?
Oh my god, we just lost power. Well, that's weird.
That is weird, but you're on the internet still.
Well, yeah, my computer's charged.
But I mean, you are connected to the internet.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not.
Well,
maybe the power isn't out.
All the lights. The
internet.
All the lights just went out though, and the fan stopped.
Carrie's in Baja, and there's a Hurricane Pamela is.
We're potting. You know what? But we're gonna pot through it.
In the front line.
I've got 81% of my computer. We can fucking do this.
We can do it. We'll just do it until the Wi-Fi cuts out or something. But this is truly boots on the ground, Hurricane Pamela, front lines of the storm.
This is how much I love
Carrie O'Donnell reporting.
I'm committed to this pod. I am.
I don't actually want this, but it would be funny. It is funny to imagine the hurricane fully hits and you like pod until you're sucked into the eye of the storm.
I mean, I would. And it would be like the movie Crawl.
You're holding on to like, the bed. It's Poltergeist style, Twister
I gotta
style,
talk about Meredith like, Brooks!
Meredith forgives Jen!
Wait, right off the... It was like... Really fast. It was like, where is my mind? But also... I just need to say it out loud. I didn't realize Whitney and Meredith both have sons named Brooks.
Me neither. I did not know that until this episode. I feel like
that was crazy.
Crucial information.
It was. Anyway.
Okay, Coach Shaw, I think, hates Jen.
Yeah,
he does. I'm basing that only on their interaction of him shoveling the driveway.
Sharif is just like doing his like hot, kind way thing of just shoveling and being a great husband and a great dad. And then Jen comes out and she goes, honey, I think you should let the shoveler shovel this. And Sharif goes, what shovelers? Who's going to do this? We don't have anyone that can do this. And Jen kind of like almost like looks at the camera like, shut up.
Yeah. I was, like, I was so darked out by this whole scene.
Oh, me too.
He's like, she's like, oh, you're out here? And he's like, I've been out here for 5 hours.
Yeah. He's like, I've been shoveling. She's like, you're not wearing a coat. He's like, yeah, because it's hot. Because I've been.
I don't need one. She goes, me, I think you should wear. Do you want this? And he goes, no, I don't need a coat.
Yeah.
I was like, Jen.
He's mad at her.
The clock is a ticking on this marriage of hers.
We cut to Mary and she's just cooking up. She's baking some cookies and she's talking to herself and she goes, I'm going to make Whitney some cookies.
I like her baking.
Me too.
She should have like a baking YouTube channel.
I'd watch. Something.
Yeah.
I want Mary to have like a Christy Carlson Romano style YouTube where it's just her walking around Salt Lake.
Yeah. Any sort of stream of consciousness work from her I would take. I'm so entranced by her and her storytelling abilities. That
incredible.
Yeah,
you're like no wonder you're a charismatic religious leader.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
She testifies every time she speaks.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to the Barlows and Lisa goes to Jack, honey, what are you doing today?
He's like, I have to go to work. And she's like, oh.
Jack is sweet.
He is sweet. Responsible young king.
He is.
She's raising him right. Lisa is so drained.
She goes to John. John, I had trouble sleeping. And John goes, me too.
She goes, that was my fault. And then she like rehashes the night before drama that has just drained her.
Yep.
And she goes, what a waste of a Gucci outfit.
I mean, true.
True. And also, I guess it turned out she didn't fucking tell anyone to call it off.
Yeah, she didn't. We were wrong.
I don't know exactly what happened, but all I've gleaned, because I don't really also care. So, but what I've gleaned from like the social media stuff is that it wasn't Lisa. Just how I knew. I knew it wasn't her.
No, it wasn't. But also, I think Lisa is, she might not have done it, but I do think she's very like conniving. I do.
I think she has like tricks up her sleeve, but I don't fault her for it.
No. She does a really good impression of Whitney, which killed me.
I know, it was really good.
I have to say John is such an agreeer husband, which I both love and think is like unhealthy, but I love it.
I don't want
It's back on.
Back on. Pamela be damned.
Yeah.
I don't want an agreeer. Only on some things, but like I like to be challenged a little bit.
He challenges her at the end though, because he says,
yeah,
like,
he tells her to make it work.
He's like, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, and Lisa goes, okay. And he goes, what if you try to make it work with Whitney, because I really like Justin, it would make my life easier.
Shocking, the men love hanging with Justin.
Justin's like the king of this group.
Probably, you know why? Because he has like a hot young wife with huge tits. And men like respect that in other men.
And he fucks her all the time.
Yeah. And they like broadcast. She like broadcast how much she loves to fuck him. And yeah. So other men see that and they're like, I need some of his big dick energy.
Yeah.
It would not be the same if he didn't have Whitney for his wife. I'm just
I'm sorry. He's not cute.
Not cute is a kind way of describing him and his sexual appeal.
But he's like the man in Salt Lake.
He is.
He's like,
that's all it takes is like, you just have to find some hot big tit broad to suck and fuck
and leave and your then every your man family.
Will respect you. Yeah. Lisa, when she's talking to John about Whitney and Angie's relationship, she goes, she apparently went to lunch with Whitney and I'm apparently a topic of conversation.
Why wouldn't she be?
I love apparently. Maybe also, a repeat appearance.
John has a confessional interview solo and I was like, I was right to stand.
Yes. Yeah.
You look hot.
You can have John, I'll have Seth, and then we're like perfect.
We're good.
Lisa's theory on Whitney is though, she's like, Whitney's been waiting for a moment like this for a long time, which I was like, yes. Like I took that to mean like a moment of having a storyline. But then she goes, I think she wants to come in and take all my friends away from me. And I was like, no, I don't.
Yeah. So Lisa, like, I was like, oh, she's over the line. She made it. This is like, she totally has her number. And then I was like, no, she's going back.
Yeah.
Two steps Thank forward, goodness. Eight steps back with Lisa.
Mm-hmm. But God love her.
God love her. Mary goes to Whitney's and Whitney's children are there. And Mary walks in with her cookies. And Whitney goes, Mary, would you maybe be willing to teach my daughter? And then her daughter goes, yeah, will you teach me how to bake?
And Mary goes, how about today?
Mary goes, I would love to, but I'm so tired. And then this is a transcript of what she said. She mm-hmm. goes, and Whitney's like, why are you so tired? And she goes, well, last night, one of the members of our church, their daughter, like, had a crash. Like, last night. And she was ejected from the sunroof and fell down into a neighborhood. 30 feet. Drop off the freeway. And then there's a silence. And Whitney's daughter goes, is she still alive? And Mary goes, no.
No.
And then she goes, but I'm excited to be here. And then does, like, a little, like, body roll.
She goes, wear a seatbelt. I'm so excited to be here.
And Whitney just looks completely like, oh my God.
I love relaying that information to two children.
Yeah. Is she still alive? No.
Is she still alive? No.
And she goes, woo! She goes.
But I'm so excited to be here. Body roll, wear a seatbelt. I'd be like, I will wear a seatbelt. You just convinced me.
I wore a seatbelt, you ghoul.
I'll never forget your tales, your yarns of death come too soon.
Also, like, should we be investigating this crash?
Seems like someone's probably on it.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, she's been up all night.
She has, like, a homeland board. Like, the yarn.
30 feet into a neighborhood.
It's very Grace Kelly.
It's sad. What a tragedy. But also, if I were to die in a horrific crash and then I was forever like remembered as like a viral housewife moment, I wouldn't be so mad at that.
I'm almost bummed that that clip came out last week because I wish I'd been surprised by it.
I know. They like really, they shot the load too early. I think they had to do it because this episode was kind of boring.
It was.
So they needed to like get people invested with that one moment.
Mary has, I will say Mary has a very good read on everyone though.
Yeah, I wrote too. She's incredibly perceptive.
She is.
Like she has exactly, like knows exactly what's going on with Whitney and Lisa. Just being like, Whitney wants her acceptance. She wants to be her friend.
Mary goes.
And she's like pissed.
Lisa has a cool factor. And I was like, she does.
She does.
And she goes,
Queen of Sundance.
All Whitney has to do is shut up. And I was like,
she does.
It's truer words have never been spoken. She's basically like, if you
how
want this
amazing
girl,
life would be if Whitney just shut up.
Yeah. She's basically like, if you want this woman to be your friend, which you clearly do because she's cool and popular.
And you're obsessed with her.
The best way to right now, the best thing to do is just not speak.
Because everything Whitney says is like trying to challenge Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
and everything she does is just to get under Lisa's skin or like try and do a power move. And I'm sorry, but like Lisa already has all the power. You can't power move the queen.
Yeah.
You have to kill him with kindness.
Mary's
the one. Yeah. She really knows. Jesus really works in mysterious ways and he's working through Mary.
Totally. We cut over to Heather. She's playing a song.
Her sitting at the piano was a haunted house.
It was. I just wrote shrieking.
Mm-hmm. Playing like some serious chords. And her daughter got into UCSB, Gwyneth vibes.
Did she go there?
Yeah.
Oh, did she graduate?
No. I think she went for like a couple years or something.
That's cool. Didn't Kourtney Kardashian go there?
No, she went to ASU.
Oh.
Which I'm like, isn't that just a school where you just black out during, I mean, every college is, but that one was like,
it's the biggest party school.
Yeah.
UCSB though is like a fun school, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like fun, low stakes in the UC school system.
So they go over to the computer and Ashley's like, apparently if you get in, there's confetti on your portal when you open it. And then they, you know, she gets in and then Heather goes, Ashley, you're going to meet people from all over the nation.
Also, you're going to meet other rich people from all over the nation.
Rich white
people. Let's not get so excited about how global UCSB is.
Also, this is kind of maybe a dark read, but Heather seems jealous.
I'm sure she is. She never got any of this. Like, she's just now getting to have like her explore herself in her late 40s. And like, I think she is still grieving the fact, or there is still a lot of grief over the fact that she did not get to have any of these like life experiences.
Yeah, but it's like very, for some reason in this moment, I really felt like overt jealousy. Like she was kind of like, yeah, it's gonna be great.
There's something dark that popped into my head and I'll say it, but
say it.
I think Heather kind of wants, like I believe that there's a part of her that like really wants her daughter to have just like the most fulfilling like life experiences and like see everything and like drink and like fuck people and blah, blah, blah. But I think she also really wants to see her like misstep in that environment. So then she can like feel better about
not partaking herself.
It's like, it's a little bit of both.
I think you're totally,
I think that
right.
has to exist in order, like, it has to exist. I'm not saying it's like wrong or right.
No, I think No, I think you're 100% right. I think it's like a weird self-destructive like prophecy she wants her daughter to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
And she's,
because that's what happened. Like when you do this stuff and then she can like be there to like comfort her. But maybe what if her daughter just had like a really happy, great time with like minimal drama and problems,
then she'll be like, I really want you to like do more bad things.
Yeah,
she like at
She's
one
like,
point
here's some ecstasy. You should fly, you should cross an international border, take it to Mexico.
Yeah, take some ecstasy and just pick a flight and take it.
Mm-hmm.
She also like, what did she say something about the buffet? She's she's like, my daughter's on the mall. And I was like, Jesus, Heather.
She's just like, it's a lot of excitement for also someone that doesn't speak to their children about like sex. So I'm like, you're having these conversations with like a producer and a camera, but you're not really having them like with your own children. Just kind of weird.
She's like, girls, get out there and bukkake it up.
Just have them come on your face. Not not inside you. You can use a condom, but Or have him use the back door. She winks. I'm always just suspicious of a mom that's like so excited for her kids to like
fuck
have horrific life experiences that college can bring.
I know. Well, we'll get to more of that later.
Stay innocent and call mommy. And like, yeah, I like don't want that for my children.
No.
Like I would do anything. Like if I were to have kids, I would do anything so that they don't repeat any of my mistakes.
Yeah. Jen is going to meet Brooks and Meredith at some bar that we missed in Salt Lake.
Yeah, 350 Park. I think they're in Park City.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I was loving the flurry of snow.
Mm-hmm. There's like this constant in the background of this franchise. There's a constant like din of wind.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
The weather is so apparent in this franchise. And I'm a weather girl. So I'm here for Mother Nature.
Meredith walks in like a blood red, like hot neon red
suit with no overcoat.
No.
She's immune to Mother Nature's ways.
She was like channeling.
Little messy today. As she steps out of the Escalade, mm-hmm. and Brooks like escorts her in. I was just like, this is the kind of mother I aspire to be, is to have get spirited to lunch looking hot as shit with my sexually ambiguous son escorting mother into the restaurant. Goals.
Jen's waiting there and Brooks basically tells Meredith to fuck off. And Meredith goes, okay, I'll be at the bar.
But she's 3 feet away staring at them. I took a photo of her because I was like, her vibe at the bar, like I relate.
Yeah. Just like, she's like, okay, I'll be right over there. And she just sits there. And she texts on her phone with one tap. She goes.
But she's always got one eye.
Yeah.
One eye on.
Brooks starts this combo off by basically flipping off Phantom hair. He goes, I'm like, where's the hair?
He looks so good. His skin is like glowing.
Oh my God, Meredith. She's so fucking beautiful.
She's stunning.
Yeah. Brooks goes, I don't even know how to articulate the pain you caused. I was like, damn.
He's a sweet little angel man. Mm-hmm. I was fully Team Brooks. I'm like, you never have to come out or do anything. It's fine.
Jen like lies to his face and goes, I really don't know who liked it. And Brooks goes, okay, well, from my perspective, it seemed like it was something you yourself posted.
She half apologizes and still clings to the lie that like she had nothing to do with anything.
Talks about her vagina again.
She goes, and I'm sorry if you saw my Gigi. I'm going to call it a Gigi because it sounds better. And it was just like gross. And then they hug and Jen goes, I love you so much to Brooks. You like, love him so much?
Like, no, you don't. You hate him.
I hate when people say that like,
yeah,
they don't know you like that. I'm like, you don't have to say, I'd actually prefer that you don't say that and you just act normal.
You don't love him. You hate him.
And you don't. You resent him actively.
You both hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's just be like, I'm really sorry about that. And I hope that we can be civil.
I love you so much.
She's insane.
Yeah.
Meredith goes,
at last, I wrote for now.
Meredith is like Jen. Blackout by the end of it. I love it. I'm just in my head, she's drinking martinis secretly.
Yeah, while they were talking, Meredith swallowed 5 martinis.
Like 8 pills.
Mm-hmm.
It was just...
Boys night.
John, Sharif, Seth, and Justin. Seth in his confessional is wearing a Brooks Marks tracksuit logo.
It looks like it's like pinned.
I know.
I was like, well, God bless him for trying.
He loves his son. So- he does.
No, I know.
It's really, really does. Sweet.
I love Seth. Seth Head over here. Sharif walks in. He goes, "Where my guys at?" That warmed my heart.
Yeah, they look genuinely happy to be together.
They love each other, and I'm here for any and all guys night content from here on out. Like, I think that that should become now an essential part. I like want the I want to know like the guys drama that develops over time. Seth is also really good on camera, like asking the questions and like stirring the pot.
They're the most fun I've seen on, because the other, I hate when like Beverly Hills husbands do guys night. I'm just like, I don't care about these people.
I like Maurice and PK. Like, yeah. They seem actually like friends.
They are.
And these guys seem like they actually want to be around each other. So that's half the battle.
And they're like, Justin, you dog.
They go, oh. Seth goes, you have a stripper pole in your house. Whoa. And you Justin's like, yeah. So gross.
Seth goes, I pay to watch you do that. And Justin goes, oh. Him and Whitney.
You have a sex life. You have an active sex life. And Justin's like, yeah. So he's like.
Him and Whitney are like those, that weird couple in your class that like were one of the first people to have sex. And you're like them. And they're like really weird about it. They're like not even like the popular kids. They're just like a weird horny couple that like had sex like too soon and it was like weird.
Or like a senior guy that's just like a dog dating like a freshman girl who like doesn't know any better and they're just like fucking all the time. Oof. And they're very pleased about it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, this man
absolutely not
makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like actually repels me from the act of sex.
I know.
And then Seth goes, I can have sex with Meredith anytime I want as long as I don't wake her up. And I was like, guess what? The same rule goes for me. But you no, he can wake me up. I'd do it asleep or awake with Seth.
You want to have like my year of rest and relaxation vibes?
I had dated a guy once where I said, like, we had talked ahead of time. I was like, I would love to just, like, be asleep and then wake up with you fucking me. And then we did that. And I highly recommend it for anyone that, like, obviously you have to, like, set that rule. I think it would be, I don't think I would like it if, like, someone just did that.
Yeah.
That I didn't trust. That would be rape. But, like, otherwise, I mean, I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just get to wake up and be fucked. You're already in it. You have not had to do any of the groundwork. You're just there. And then you come to and it's already happening.
Penetration.
Yeah.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jenny and Whitney meet. Jenny is so beautiful.
Yeah.
She's like, looks like a mom. She's just like, I just love her vibe.
Mm-hmm. A great hair. Really knows her way around a curl.
Just great energy.
Yeah. And they're at Cucina Toscana, our favorite place.
Our favorite place. We miss you.
Che bello.
We miss you, SLT. When I saw the trolleys and like the transition shots, I screamed.
You were like, I've been there. I know, it feels like I was like, wow, I'm a fucking SLC native at this point.
You are.
They're at Cucina Toscana and then Whitney orders the lasagna, which is what I had when I was there. And I was like, I fucking know this old. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, it's so good. Enjoy.
Whitney goes, I have a lot on my plate lately. Building her $1 billion company.
Yeah. She's, what did she, had some comment about like the roles have been reversed in their marriage or something.
Yeah. So Whitney,
she's the breadwinner.
Oh, did she say that? I was like, I just kind of tuned out. Cause I was like, she bought out her business partner and she's like, and we're fulfilling orders. And now like, I guess she's more working and like Justin is taking over more of like the traditional like housekeeping duties.
It's kind of cool.
And yeah. And they talk about how like she always wanted more kids, but Justin got his tubes tied. And then her situation is like the inverse of Jenny's, who her husband just wants her to be like a fucking
baby
farm
machine.
Animal. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
kind of like waiting. I really want Whitney to be like the head of like a LuLaRoe empire.
I could see it going in an MLM direction.
Right.
Yeah. I was glad that she brought up the surrogate question because that was my next question for Jenny specifically. Is like, is it that you just don't want to bear children or you don't want any more children, period, any way that any children, and she doesn't want any.
Yeah, but I also think it's a little of the other too, which I get.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I like, I didn't know if it was just like, if it was just that, or if it was like a total that plus like I just am done. But she makes a good point. She's like, my kid's 9, she can make her own food, like they've stopped bothering me, like I've snatched back, like I'm like, yeah, don't have another kid, my god. She's if like, don't have another kid, make it a lamb child.
Yeah, make it an Ada.
Make it Ada, the lamb child, and definitely get a gun.
She's like, I look incredible and I'm really rich.
Yeah, and I'm not going back. I was like, nor should you. What is Dewey's deal? He needs to get his shit together.
Yeah,
stop asking.
Stop. Just
I would
go crack back.
So irritated.
Go adjust.
You have 3. What do you want?
Not only are they, you have 3, but they're all incredible. And your daughter is a comedy icon.
Yeah. She should be the youngest. Don't ruin this good thing with another.
No.
If you want kids, go be a babysitter part time. If you're that crazy about spending time with children.
Also, it's going to be like, she'll be the next, they'll be 10 years older. The youngest child will be 10 years older than the baby.
That child, like, and I've met children like that, and they're always fucking weird.
And they're little assholes.
Yeah, they suck. The ones that are like,
sorry.
The youngest, like, mistake
sorry to all
child.
You.
You guys, if that's you, you know that that's true. You know you're a little weird.
When you're the youngest and you have like a bunch of older siblings.
But like, they're way older.
Yeah.
Like 7, 8, 9, 10 plus years older. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's not good for anyone.
Because Simon and Nikki are 9 years older than younger than their brother, but they're twins.
So that's like, different. It's a whole different.
It's a whole different ball game. But if
thank
you're
God, oldest, they're twins, and it wasn't just one of them, because
it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith and Heather meet up to ski, which I just love, like that you can just casually ski there.
You just hit the slopes.
Heather goes, "You ready?" And then they suit up, and there's like this little like kind of like Batman montage of them being like. And Heather's like,
have a casual ski lunch.
Let's ride, bitch. They go to Last Chance Lodge and they order Irish coffees.
Irish coffees and charcuterie platters, which I was like, that's nice.
Mm.
And I just have to say, once again, Meredith, my queen, I love her relationship with her kids. She's just like, make sure your kids talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great advice.
So this is when I got a little like, okay, what's actually going on here? Because Heather hasn't had the sex talk with her daughters.
And I'm and she makes it seem like, oh, she's a cool mom and she's like really upfront about everything.
I was like, no, and I understand, like, you're deeply ingratiated with like Mormon sentiments still.
Yeah.
And she's like, I never had the sex talk because I always just was like, my daughters won't have sex till they're married, and there's no reason for me to talk about it. But it's like,
actually thinking, buying into that completely bonkers narrative for yourself and like living in a world where you truly believe that to be true.
But it gives such a, I feel like it sends such a conflicting message to her daughters, especially her oldest daughter. Like, she's telling everyone else, like, I want my daughters to be like running out there and getting like
getting a train run on them.
Yeah. And like, but then she's not, she's like, oh, I can't talk about it.
Can't even say the word sex. Yeah.
And then she goes to the extent of, she goes, I am horrified by the idea of my daughter not having sex before she gets married. I'm like, then talk to her about it. You're making it a beast.
Heather's living in a world of piano horror.
She's like Phantom of the Opera right now.
She is. Also, I'm like, wait, if I found out that my mom was saying all this shit to me about me on national television and hadn't even spoken a word of that to me personally, I'd be like, mom.
Yeah.
The fuck?
And Meredith is just kind of like sipping her coffee and she's like,
Yeah, Meredith's checked out.
Yeah.
Couldn't be me. Meredith, like, literally gave them condoms when they turned, like, 10.
Yeah. She's like, the Tooth Fairy brought a quarter and a condom.
Mm-hmm. I live.
Me too.
Get them to talk to you. And condoms always.
Always condoms. And then gradually
speak.
Gradually bring up PrEP and Descovy.
Mm-hmm. Normalize PrEP.
Mm-hmm.
Have them talk to you.
Yeah.
Condoms always.
Condoms always.
Not a big proponent of juice, but I am a proponent of condoms.
I will never swear by a juice cleanse, but I'll swear by latex. Lambs.
I cannot vouch for sugar, but I can vouch for the barrier method.
I have a dental dam in me right now.
She probably uses condoms with Seth still.
Yeah. She's all about condoms.
I love it.
The queen of condoms.
I'll bet. I just was imagining her, like, her condom fetish was such that, like, when she got pregnant, she, like, they decided they were going to try and have a kid, but she still made Seth wear a condom that she'd like poked holes in. She still wanted to feel bad. That would also be really fun. If anyone's out there and you're like, let's get pregnant, I think a good way to mix it up would just be to like wear a condom that you poked holes in.
Take
just
a little...
to, like, cosplay, just to LARP as like a poke hole in the condoms kind of gal.
Mm-hmm.
Free ideas.
Little pin.
Yeah. I love, like, wouldn't guys like notice there's a hole when you just stretch out and then your dick would just go through a hole
No. Guys don't know.
They don't know. If a straight guy put a condom on and his dick just went through a hole in the condom, he'd be like, well, my lucky day. And then, like,
he'd be like, whoa, I didn't know that was going to happen.
Whoa, it's like you don't even feel it. It's crazy. Anyways, like,
all good.
I'm fucking good.
I'll keep going.
This is my favorite, best condom I've ever had.
Yeah, this is great. It's a ghost condom. Lisa and Whitney meet for a little girl's moment, a little reconciliatory.
Little gin, little pie.
Gin and pie. I was like, this place is bizarre.
I was getting weirded out by it. All the botanicals on the table. I'm like, why do you have so many spices and shot glasses? You're like,
I know.
You have glasses of dust.
Lisa goes, when I think of gin, I think of new beginnings.
And then Whitney arrives and she goes, do you love gin? And she goes, you know, when I think of gin, I think about new beginnings. She says it again.
You know, when I think about gin, I think about new beginnings.
She goes, you can't spell new beginnings without G-I-N.
Yeah.
She goes, do you love gin?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I think of gin. I imagine her saying this like as though it's organically coming to her for the rest of the season to people.
Yeah.
Lisa and her gin realizations.
Do you love gin? She goes, are you allergic to anything?
And Whitney goes, yes, pecans.
And then Lisa's like, all right, we'll have the pecans.
I love Lisa's like power moves because she truly does not like Whitney. Like, that is very obvious, but she will never give Whitney the pleasure
of admitting
that she doesn't.
Yeah.
And Whitney is like not smart. Like, she just doesn't know how to play these games, these reindeer games.
We're zooming.
There's a hurricane coming. I feel like, are you Googling like hurricane stuff as you're podcasting? What's your hurricane stress level right now?
It was very minimal, and now that we might be leaving today, I'm a little stressed. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be Googling. I was just picking up
on that a little bit, but you were hiding it well. You were doing a really good job of like compartmentalizing.
I was like this.
I was like, the fact that you lived through a lights off, lights on.
Yeah, I was like, dun 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 dun. Hello? Dun 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 dun.
Flight 2843.
Hurricane Pamela.
Do you love gin?
Do you love gin? Lisa goes,
you know, when I think of gin.
I think of new beginnings. She goes, you know, I was a little upset the other night. John Barlow came home and told me that Justin said that you're worried that we're not friends. And I thought we were friends. I was like,
that was a surprise to me because I thought we were always friends.
She laughs a little, and I was like, you troll.
You're a troll. Is she sitting on like a couple phone books? Because she is up actually really high. She's fully, thus begins like the mental torture that she's about to like
inflict,
and I'm here for it.
Do you love pies? Do you love gin? Well, I've got a place for you.
What would you say to do if we wanted one of those pies and one of the other? What should we do?
One of the other. Yeah, the woman goes, I'm sorry to interrupt you guys, but have you made any decisions? I'm like, I hope so. I hope we can get out of this fuck. If I was there, I'd be like, yes, get me out of here.
Get me out of this basement.
Do you love it in here? And Whitney's like,
isn't this great?
Whitney's eyes are literally like sealing shut because there's so many like nuts and like pecans everywhere. And she's like, yes, I love it.
She's having anaphylactic shock.
Yeah.
Yes, I love it.
I love it. Earlier when Whitney, she's so like awkward.
She's so weird.
But when she was with Jenny, she goes, I really enjoyed the opportunity to connect.
She's just Mormon.
Yeah. like
royal. Royal
inbred.
Mormon.
Inbred. From Brady McBraderson or whatever. Rory.
Rory McFelty. Rowdy McDowell.
Yeah.
I mean, inbred and royal.
Dowdy Lane. Brendan.
Brosten Ditter. Brosten Cul-de-sac. August.
Abacadnezar.
Nebuchadnezzar McPherson.
Yeah.
Rowdy.
Her uncle.
Rondi. Rondi. There's
Rondi. Rondi Arabicson.
Rondi O'Shaughnessy. McFelty. Paola. I could just keep going if you want.
I love it. No, I'm loving it.
Tarkarsten. Deffery. Treachery. Treachery Roser.
My uncle. Our uncle. We're cousins.
We're cousins. We share the same great-great-grandfather. Katarsten III. It's all Irish.
It's all Irish. When he goes... My perspective is that we're not friends, that we just tolerate each other.
And I'm like, correct.
Yeah, and?
Whitney's
and then they just like arbitrate all Whitney's claims of being like, then why are you calling me this?
I'm like, shut up, Whitney. Just stop. Do what Mary said.
Stop.
Just shut the
Don't
fuck
ask
up.
Her. Just, you need to approach this like you literally nailed it when you said you're down here and Lisa's up here. You need to approach it like that and be like, look. I want to be friends with you. I'm sorry we've had understandings and I think you're fabulous and like, let's move forward. You don't need to ask her, like, you're not going to win this game. Lisa's the queen of Sundance. It's over. The game is over before it even began.
It's over for these hoes.
It's over for these. As soon as Lisa Barlow walks into any setting, it's over for these hoes.
As soon as Lisa Barlow suggests gin and pie, you know it's over for you.
When she asks you if you like gin, she's letting you know that it's completely over for you.
Do you have any
and
allergies?
Now it's time for a new beginning.
Yes, actually.
Pecan.
Pecan.
Oh, no. Well, we'll just take the
we'll
shavings
have to get the
off.
EpiPen. Maybe we'll get the EpiPen depending on how this meeting goes.
Can we have a nurse standing by?
I love everything that Winnie says. Lisa goes, well, I didn't mean it that way. I really didn't mean it that way.
She goes, you called me a thing.
She goes, like, you said this.
That's not,
I
I'm
meant,
so
like,
sorry.
This girl, I didn't, I'm so sorry. I did not mean it that way.
She's fucking incredible. She did mean it that way.
She absolutely did. And then Whitney goes, but then you said, don't claim her as your cousin. She goes, I didn't mean it like that. I just saw you were... Why would you get involved with a 24-year friendship?
Yeah. She's just like...
Why would you?
The queen of deflecting, and it's incredible. Like, she's impenetrable. You can't... Whitney's gonna... She can't help herself. She has to... She can't accept that this woman just doesn't like her. So she has to say it all. All these truths that she fears, she's saying out loud, and they're true.
Yeah. Deal with it.
Deal with
I
it.
Could also hope that they never squash the beef because I love this dynamic.
Yeah.
And I love to see it repeat itself over and over. Whitney goes, you have drove me crazy at times.
She goes, you did call me a trash can pig.
And Lisa goes,
I
no, I didn't
like
mean
that.
It like that.
No.
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Like that.
That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. You did call me a slimy pig box. No, no, that's not what I meant.
I was there was livestock around, and that's not what I meant.
I was looking at.
I really didn't mean it like that. I really like you. I think we're friends.
I think we're friends, and I love you, and I think we're sisters.
I like also that Lisa doesn't really make eye contact whenever she's in these. Mm-mm. She like is looking around.
Mm-mm. No, no, that's not what I meant.
No, no, no. We're friends though.
We
I
are
really
dear friends.
Friends.
We've been lifelong friends.
And
oh
I really
God.
Didn't mean it like that.
No, I'm so sorry.
I was surprised to hear that you didn't think we were friends, quite honestly.
I've known you since before you were born.
I saw your conception.
I had dreams about you since I was a little girl.
She goes, I'm a Sag. I just want to free fly and be fun. So let's just be fun. It's like, okay. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Whitney's so confused. I live for her just like utter confusion in moments like this.
Yeah, Whitney's like,
oh, okay.
Oh, I'm a Libra. So I'm the same, I guess. Lisa goes, great. We can just have fun. We can fly free. That's great.
Fly free. Sag and Libra, sisters. Okay. Gotta
Sag
go.
Sag vibes. Bye. Enjoy your pie.
Enjoy your pie. Then she just leaves and she goes, I'll pay. And then just leaves. And Whitney's just sitting there.
I guess I should finish my pie.
Yes, yes. You should finish it. It's a great place. Great owners. Dear friends of mine. Been friends with them for 7 years. They're such good people.
She knows everyone, too, in the city. So you're never going to get a one-up on her.
No.
I love pies.
Whitney's also wearing pants that reminiscent of the Lindsay Lohan miniskirt over the dress.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of you.
And you remember someone, one of the people that we met in Chicago told me that they, too, loved the dress.
There were more dress fans out there.
I felt seen and I felt...
We're vindicated.
I felt even though you will not approve and most 99% of the people listening to that episode thought I was crazy for saying it. There were a few.
There are people that stand with you.
Mm-hmm. No, no, it's okay. I love the jeans.
No, I love it. Love that.
Yeah, this week was a little slow, but I think it's just like, you know, we're going to have to take some duds to get to the real.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I'm now just like in with these women. So I kind of don't care when it's like a slower week.
You love it, Lars.
I love it. And I didn't mean it like that when I said I didn't, because I actually love that.
I love that.
Jack, what are you doing today?
What are you doing today?
I love asking your child that.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know what they're.
She doesn't know.
They're minor.
She doesn't fucking know.
Do you have work?
It's your life. You have to take care of these things, she said to him when he was like 5.
What's your schedule like? He's like, what? Like, she's like, a schedule. You should figure that out.
He's like,
and
playing.
Then walked away. He was 3.
He's like playing with like toy cars. What's your brand?
Enjoy your time doing this because branding starts soon. You're going to have to think about what your brand is.
You're going to think of an email sign off. What's your email?
What do you want your email signature to be?
What do you want? He's like, mama.
That won't work.
That won't work. We're going to have to think about this.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to think about this. I need you to come up with a spreadsheet.
Start thinking on that. I sent you a calendar invite.
How proficient are you at Excel? She said to him when he was like 6.
I'll bet her sons are really proficient at Excel.
Mm-hmm. If there's anything Lisa loves more, it's entering things.
Mm-hmm. Entering data.
Mm-hmm. She goes, click, 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 click.
Yeah, I raise a son that's proficient in Excel.
I feel like when Meredith Marks types, she goes,
just a pointer finger typer.
Well, guys, next time we'll pod, we'll be together again.
We will. We'll be reunited on come Thursday.
Come Thursday. Guys,
until then.
Low ticket warning on our New York show.
Guys, there's maybe about 30 tickets left for New York. So you better
get it
while the getting's good, because
Philly and
just
Boston,
like Boston and Philly, it's going to sell out, and then you're not going to have a chance to see the pod. You're going to be riddled with FOMO, depressed,
anxious,
and there will be no way to fix it, honestly. Yeah. And you'll just have to live with the regret that you did not take the opportunity. People have already messaged me being like, I waited too long for Philly and now it's done and there's nothing I can do.
I know, I've loved people commenting being like, but what if I want to come now? I'm like,
literally,
well,
you can't.
You can't.
Sorry. Go on the dark web, or I guess go on a resale site and buy a ticket. But I don't know. Not my problem. You had your chance.
We're just kidding. We're sorry that you can't come, but you'll have more. We'll have more opportunities next year to.
Oh yeah, but I mean this year.
This year though.
This is it.
New York, baby.
For 2021.
City, city lights.
And these shows are gonna be so fun.
Lara and I are gonna do like dun, 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 dun. We're gonna walk down the entire length of Manhattan doing that.
Like the Rockettes.
Yeah. We're gonna be doing kick lines all the way to the Gramercy Theater.
The show will start out with us 20 minutes away on foot, but with like a steady cam filming us on our kick walk to the Gramercy until we finally take the stage.
I'm like tempted for us to stay at the Marriott Marquis in Times Square. It's an iconic hotel.
What is it? What's the vibe?
Look it up for yourself. I mean, it's like crazy. It's like where everyone who's going to the theater stays, but it's like 800 feet tall. It's huge and it has like glass elevators. It's very touristy, but it's amazing. It's amazing.
New York. It's amazing. I love it there.
I love it there. It's not close to where we're going. Well, no, it's not. But I'm like tempted.
These elevators are insane.
I literally get like to a place of glass elevator.
You love a Marriott.
Yeah.
You're a Marriott girl at heart.
I am. Isn't that crazy?
It's pretty crazy. I feel like we can figure out.
We can figure out a better
great
one.
Great place. Yeah.
Off, not on the pod.
Not in Times Square.
Yeah.
My nightmare.
I know, but that's how like much I'm like excited to be in New York that I'm like ready.
Yeah, you're so excited. You're ready to just go right to Times Square. I get that. I'm so excited. East Coast. Practice my couture hunch. Who me?
Follow Laura at Lars Marie.
Follow Carrie at eCario and Eat Pray Love. And
bye bye.
Bye.